Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of A Bleak Outlook, where we get real about people of color in genre media. I'm Dee Dee.
And I'm Sean.
And as always, before we get started with our news and notes and then our TV rundown, we're going to go over a few quick housekeeping things. First of all, our spoiler policy is that we don't have one. We spoil shit. So if you don't want to be spoiled about Almost Human or Sherlock or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or a whole bunch of other shows, go back and watch those shows and then come back and listen. Next thing, our contact information on Tumblr. We're a-bleak, and that's bleak spelled B-L-E-E-K, -outlook.tumblr.com. On Facebook, we're facebook.com/bleakoutlook. On Twitter, we're @ableakoutlook. And finally, on Gmail, we're bleakoutlookpodcast@gmail.com.
Use those links, people. Come on. Let us know things. Talk to us. You know, just drop and say, yo, what's up?
Yeah, I think people use the Tumblr more than anything else. But sure. Speaking of, we got some feedback in the form of likes and reblogs of the podcast post and a couple of new followers on the Tumblr blog. So shout out to Nothing on Lime, Pen and Pocket Knife, and a Violet Mind for following our blog. And shout out to Shutter Smiley, Nudie Muse, IO, A Violet Mind, and Bean Zeno Shika Cho for liking or reblogging the podcast post. So thanks for helping to spread the word. And now we'll get into our news and notes. And I had to put this in there because I was happy about it. This is relevant to my interests alone. Hulu Plus adds new and classic CBS shows. Somebody might care that The Brady Bunch and Cheers and Happy Days are, you know, going to finally be on Hulu Plus. But I'm happy because they're going to show full seasons of Elementary.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be the only thing, like, I mean, I saw, I was like, okay, oh, Elementary, wait, I can finally do that catch-up that I need to do?
Yeah, yeah, that I need to do as well. So, I mean, I've already seen season one, but I'm way behind on season two, so.
Yeah, season one, I, like, dropped out the second episode for some reason, I forget, that was a chaotic time period of my life.
Anyway.
Yeah, I know, and... You know, it's one of those things where I promised myself that I'm actually going to go back and watch it all because I actually did like what I saw the show. But yeah, I mean, come on, but everybody loves Raymond's also in that batch. Everybody loves Raymond.
Really. Anyway, whatever. Moving on. Maggie Q will star in a limited series about pirate queen Ching Shi.
Which is going to be awesome, I think.
Sounds really good. The series is tentatively titled Red Flag, and Ching Shi is a pirate's widow who, around the 1800s, started a career that would make her one of the most notorious pirates in the world. She was the terror of Chinese, British, and Portuguese navies, so... she was so hard to stop that the only way to end her empire was to offer her complete amnesty and a retirement.
Yeah, she was what we call badass warrior women.
So this sounds right up Maggie Q's alley.
Seriously, I love Maggie Q.
So she's going straight from Nikita to this.
Mm-hmm.
So keep getting them checks, Maggie. Keep getting them checks.
And it's not like, yeah. I mean, honestly, Maggie's career is one of those things where, okay, see, I've had a thing for Maggie Q since there's this really bad Hong Kong movie called Naked Weapon. I rewatched it a few weeks ago, And I was like, wait, this is the first time I saw Maggie Q in a bad Hong Kong movie. And she was still badass, you know?
Some people can't help it.
Yeah, really. Seriously. I mean, come on. Even Balls of Fury is pretty good. I mean, if you just watch it for Maggie Q. And Aisha Taylor's in that, too. Or Aisha Tyler's in that, too.
Oh, so I think there's a little bit of uproar because Maggie Q is not Chinese and Ching-Shi is.
Yeah.
I've seen a little bit of dissent in the comments about posts about this show. So people are, you know, wondering, you know, if there are other capable Chinese actresses that could have played this, but
oh boy, are we gonna have? I didn't think about that.
So it's, you know, stuff like that's gonna come up, but hopefully, you know, this sounds like a really good show, and hopefully more people will get involved with it early on, which unfortunately did not happen with Nikita.
I was watching Nikita, but then again, I started watching Nikita off of Netflix and kind of digested it really fast. And when I tried to keep up with Nikita on TV, it failed miserably for me. So I'm still somewhere in mid third season. I need to continue.
So, and Amazon Prime is showing 10 TV pilots for free. 5 kids shows, 5 adult shows. I'm mainly interested in a couple of shows. One of them is a pilot for a show called The After, which is written by Chris Carter, famous for The X-Files.
Yes.
And starring my baby Aldis Hodge. I need to see it. So I need to see that. So Aldis Hodge, you might remember him as Alec Hardison from Leverage.
Who can forget him? Come on. I mean,
it's the best part of that show. The best part.
Definitely. Well, yes. I would say it's definitely they're one of the 3 best parts of that show, which was him, you know, Parker and Elliot. Because frankly, the other. Anyway, we won't talk about that.
It's Hardison. He's the best.
Hardison's definitely the best.
But,
no, you know, it's Amazon Prime and Mina Amazon Prime. I mean, you know, they just recently tried to, you know, talk about raising their rates. So, and their streaming's not the greatest. I mean, where can you find their stuff on their website? I had problems navigating their website, finding the movies. It was just, you know, it's not Netflix, people. So, but still, the other one, when I was reading through, I was like, wait, but Eric Overmyer's doing one of the shows. And if you don't know who Eric Overmyer is, you know, The Wire, believe Law and Order, one of my favorite shows of all time, Tremé. Yeah, so.
And which show is he doing?
That's doing Bosch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a cop show. I have a weakness for cop shows for some reason, maybe because I don't really like the police that much.
So there's The After that I'm interested in checking out. Get them checks, all this. Also be in all the things. Then there's a show called Mozart in the Jungle, which is supposed to star Gael Garcia Bernal. And another show, a sports comedy that's about a woman who gets ownership of a pro football team when her husband dies. That sounds like that might be fun. So check those out if you're interested, if you have Amazon Prime, or even if you don't, they're streaming for free. So
I think as a student, you can get Amazon Prime for free. So anybody who's in college, check that out.
Wow. Maybe I'm trying to see how I could get around that with my old college ID. No. Let me stop. Too many years. So our next story is that people have gotten a hold of early scripts of the Batman versus Superman, I guess, and they're leaking details about Lex and Bruce. So they're saying in this movie, Lex is a self-made millionaire and rose up through like gangs and stuff like that to become the king of Metropolis, and has tattoos and stuff. So this is just wow. This is kind of different. And then
You know what it is. It's
they're trying to Dark Knight Superman.
Oh, that's the first problem. Second of all, I mean, the whole this goes into a whole conversation about the new 52 with DC and how everything is, let's be grittier, let's be darker, you know, and it makes no sense in my book. I mean, I Lex is one of the few, well, not a few, Lex is one of the villains who actually I kind of respect and liked. I always liked his story. I always like how Lex handled his shit. Okay? But this one is gonna be, you know, I came up through the gangs and, you know, bald is expected. It's Lex fucking Luthor. He's gonna be bald. He has to be bald. If he's not bald, he's not Lex Luthor, let's be honest. When he has hair, you wonder who the hell this person is. But yeah. You're gritting him up and toughening him up to make him. I don't even. I actually don't understand the mindset why. You don't need to do that with Lex. Lex did not. Lex was already tough as is.
But Lex is going to be played by Jesse Eisenberg this time around.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother ball of chain
So
of
imagine
cheese.
him bald and with tattoos and
Somebody
just.
did a Photoshop of him bald, and I was like, okay, I can work with that. I mean, seriously, whatever.
But
But
tattoos, though.
the tattoos, you're not, I mean, if you don't see the tattoos, I mean, business suit. Because of what they did, they photoshopped him in a business suit, you know, classic Lex look. But hopefully there's no tattoos on his head. Hopefully he didn't go to Mike Tyson routine. But
I just don't see Jesse Eisenberg being a badass. Sorry.
yeah, I don't see him being a badass Lex Luthor. I really don't. I mean, I don't. I mean, but you know, maybe I'll be surprised. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not holding out much hope for a lot of this thing. I mean, right now the still bright spot in my head is, you know, Wonder Woman.
That's the
you
only
know,
bright spot,
yeah,
yeah.
okay. I mean, you
So,
know. Maybe if they do Lex this way, maybe there'll also be a new bright spot. Maybe we'll actually have a Mercy, which will be awesome. I could live with that. Because, you know, if they put Mercy in as, you know, not Mercy as in from the Smallville show, but Mercy as in from the classic, from the comic books and from the Justice League and Superman runs, whereas, you know, his capable assistant slash personal bodyguard slash ass kicker, who's just awesome. Mercy's one of my other favorite characters, you know.
I'm still not interested in this movie the more I hear about it, but oh well.
I mean, the interplay between Bruce and Lex will be interesting since, you know, the whole idea that Lex will be, you know, Bruce is just a trust fund baby and, you know, Bruce will be pretty much like whatever, you know, and the whole issue with him respecting Superman, whereas Lex, you know, standard Lex hate Superman invading alien idea.
Okay, so for some reason, they're making a US remake of the UK series called Broadchurch. It was a really big hit last year. It was about 10 episodes, I think. Big mystery series in the UK, and they're making a US remake. The UK original starred David Tennant and Olivia Colman as two detectives who are investigating a child murder in this small town of Broadchurch. So the US remake is going to be called Grace Point, and it's going to star David Tennant, but he's going to play an American this time. And I'm just, why? We don't
Vodka. I need vodka already.
I'm just, we don't need a US remake.
Oh,
with David Tennant using an American accent. They already aired Broadchurch, the original one, on BBC America.
Oh,
people
DD.
loved it. This is not necessary.
DD, you just yeah. Okay. You know, what the fuck?
This is so dumb. How are you going to have Tennant play a Scot? Newsflash, he is Scottish. He played a Scot in the original show. If he's going to play the same guy, the same character, why is he suddenly American? This is dumb.
You know, for many years now, I've been wondering why the fuck we keep on having these wonderful moments where, hey, look, it's this great show on, you know, BBC. Let's remake it in America, guys. Let's see if we can get some extra cash off of it. Let's do it. Let's do this. Oh, wait, we're going to have to dull it down a little bit because, you know, American audiences and our, you know, our whatever censorship has, you know, can't have tits anywhere, can't have ass everywhere, can't say certain words here, can't let a lot of blood and gore here. Let's dull it down a bit. I mean, there's an entire list of shows that have been ripped off of the BBC and put on American TV. I mean, Being Human, Skins, that's right. Did the Misfits ever show up in America?
I never saw it, and I'm glad.
I don't remember if they did American Misfits. They talked about it. I don't know why. So this is just a classic example of, hey, it works on one side of the pond. Let's flip it and do it over here. And it doesn't work that way. It does not work at all. It's one of the dumbest ideas that, honestly, I don't know who comes up with these ideas. I really wish they would stop. I wish they would just say, hey, why don't we just take your show and rebroadcast? I mean, seriously,
Just re-air it.
Never had American goddamn Doctor Who, to be honest with you, because this shit was stink on ice.
Well, you already had the movie. Wasn't that enough?
Disavowing knowledge of what you're talking about. But anyway.
Well, you still avow that there was a third X-Men, so that's payback.
Hey now.
There is not.
Storm's wig was the best thing about that movie. Maybe not.
That movie
but it was definitely better than
exist.
The other two. Okay? You mean the Goblin Queen is what I call it, because that's really all that storyline was. But we won't go into this, okay? Hey, at least Cyclops gets killed.
Anyway, this is dumb. This is stupid and unnecessary. And Olivia Colman was so good in the original Broadchurch, and now she's being recast with Anna Gunn from, I guess, Breaking Bad. There's just no need. There's just no need for any of this. Just watch the original. I don't know. I never watched that show. So this is dumb. This is unnecessary. Just watch the original Broadchurch. It's going to be better.
I've never seen the original, and I can tell you straight up, yeah, might as well watch the original because, as we all know, I mean, I know some people out there like, you know, sci-fi's Being Human, and I really don't know. I'm not going to judge y'all. I'm not going to judge your viewing habits. But seriously, the original, before you started losing original cast, was really, really good. So, but I don't understand the need for this. And this just sounds a lot like, you know, clamoring for the cash.
Tenet, get them checks, I guess. But
checks.
Dude, you could get some other checks. Could get some checks that aren't as unnecessary. Anyway. Oh, man. So.
Yeah.
So, moving on from news and notes to TV. So, have you caught up on Almost Human?
You know, I thought I hadn't, but then I realized I had. And I have a problem right now with my show, or this show.
What is it?
It's called Fox Keeps on Fucking Up the Airing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing a little discombobulation and, you know, trying to keep how the plot lines are going in my head, which should not be a problem usually, but I'm actually at the point where I'm ready to say scrap it until it's all done and then go look at it in the order it's supposed to be aired in. I've actually recommended that to a few people. Because it's just... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have one episode where we finally get to see the dude who created Dorian, and the episode ends on a pretty big kind of cliffhanger.
Yeah, and the reveal.
Yeah, and then, he goes over the wall.
Yeah, but they hadn't mentioned the damn wall before. Mm-hmm. This is like episode, like, oh, the wall. What the fuck is the wall? The wall. Yeah, so, you know.
They'd mentioned it a couple of times, but we'd just never seen it before.
They never focused on this episode. Was so focused on the wall. I wasn't the only one who was pretty much like, hey, wait, what's this wall thing they're talking about? And, you know, other people were like, yeah, they mentioned it, but nobody's ever brought any attention to it. And you see it in, when you look at the pan of the city. I'm like, yeah, okay, I wonder what that was. But now they're fully mentioning it and bringing attention to it. But then the next episode, they kind of...
I'm like, if people are this ancient on this side of the wall, with, you know, people YouTubing murders and stuff, and all of this other stuff that they do on this side of the wall, what kind of foolishness is going on the other side? I'm scared.
Oh man, but Unbound. Yeah, that was actually I'm not gonna lie, the first shot with Gina Carano, I was totally happy. I was like, okay, I'm gonna enjoy this episode because I love Gina Carano. She's still one of my top choices that they should like had her play Wonder Woman. So watching, seeing her and stuff, always like, okay, it's gonna be a lot of action. It's gonna be some good fight scenes because she's a badass in real life.
Man, she was shooting everything. She was like, she was not here to answer questions.
Yeah,
she
was that was here the only to bad shoot. Thing. Yeah, I mean, she put bullets in everything. I was kind of like, oh, body. But then you find out later on.
But it's like, wow. I was just like, wow. If you see that face, don't ask no questions. No, just get out the way. Mm-hmm. Get out the way.
Give her what she wants.
God. And she had a synthetic soul? What? She didn't need one.
Well, it seems...
What was he using them? I want to know what Vaughn was using those, because he stole those synthetic souls. He's got 500 ZRN processing cores.
Yep.
So he can build about 500 out of those joints.
Yep.
They could barely take down one.
And
he wants to make 500?
Who knows? I mean, you know. But yeah, it was certain things. Like, I mean, when I was looking at the episode, I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. John Larroquette, you know, come on. Night Court alum. And it was interesting how he was like, when he saw Dorian, he was like, you know, it was like that proud pop moment.
Yeah.
Like, you're still a cop? You're, oh. And I actually did want to hear more about how, when he was making the DRNs, where his mindset was. But obviously,
between
the DRNs and the XRNs, you can see the DRNs, he was definitely more of the, I'm trying to help and make something good here. And the XRNs was like, oh, I screwed up somehow, but I'm also mad. Because that's what that seemed to be.
It seems like the XRNs were more hasty, let me make this, I need to make some money right now. Because it seems like there was a lot of stuff missing with the XRNs that there was in the DRNs.
It seems that also with the XRNs, they wanted... The DRNs were more built for being closer to humans, I guess. And the emotional components. Whereas the XRNs were definitely his soldiers. And in the ones that they use now, I forget what the models are. The ones that are more like Ken dolls is what I'm calling them.
MXs.
Yeah, are definitely more the... They're soldiers, but they're more biddable soldiers. So I would guess the XRNs are more the super soldiers, and the MXs are just your soldiers, you know?
Well, they made a big comparison about how the MXs are logic-based and the DRNs are more emotional and everything like that. And the XRNs, they're just... mercenaries.
Ask questions later.
No, they don't even ask questions. It's shoot first. It's shoot second. It's shoot.
Yeah.
Everything.
Cut
after
eyeballs.
So God.
People were like complaining. I saw some people complain. Go, oh, it's a blatant ripoff of Blade Runner with the eyeball thing. I'm like, people, do you not realize that
this whole show is a
Well, I mean, yes, it's taken from so many classic sci-fi. You know, it's a cobbling together a lot of sci-fi. It is. I mean. You know, you really can't say anything a ripoff of one thing when you're taking everything, and that's what happens. I mean, at this point, not every story has been told, I believe, but most stories have been. It's just your twist on the story that's going to make a difference. And in this case, it's taken from everything. I mean, hell, the touchscreen stuff is all, you know, Minority Report. The retina scan thing of advertisement, also Minority Report. So, you know, it's been done. So deal with it. Don't. I'm asking my older fellow sci-fi geeks to just roll with it. You know, we can't always be like, that's a ripoff of this.
Just enjoy it. It's a good show.
Yeah, I mean, that's if you don't like the show, don't watch it. If you do like it, watch it. Just don't sit up here and say, you know, it's a ripoff of X, Y, and Z. Because seriously, trust me, we all know that where these elements come from. We've all read it. I mean, if a big old sandworm rolls up into, you know, breaks through the wall, we're all going to be like, oh, man.
Dune.
Just seriously.
So, but my question is, Sylvan is working for InSyndicate, right?
I wonder if he's working for InSyndicate or if he had InSyndicate working for him. Who knows?
Does he have that much pull anymore? I mean, he lost his lab, he lost his company, he lost everything.
Yeah, but think about the fact that he is a genius who created androids. He created, come on, this man could give them, you know, with what he has, he could literally churn out 500 of those XRNs. InSyndicate with 500 of those, I'd be afraid.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid with them just having two of them.
Basically.
After the crap InSyndicate has done so far in this show, please. Zero qualms. Zero qualms about shit.
Oh, man. So, I'm just, like, rewatching the episode earlier and just wondering if he ever told one truth to anybody this episode. Like, did he even tell the truth to Dorian?
I don't know. I'm not even gonna lie. I think it was about halfway through the episode. I was like, he's fishy.
No.
Not halfway. I was like, he's fishy. And then when the EMP thing didn't work, I was like, yeah. Confirmed.
It should have been confirmed for me, you know, when he actually survived meeting face to face with Danica. That's when I should have known.
Now, of course, he programmed all his androids to have a failsafe not to fuck with him. Which, if I were designing androids, I know I would.
But still,
Demolition Man people. That's all I got to say.
Still, he had changed his name and, you know, tried to hide his identity.
Facial recognition, retina scan.
So,
I mean, we've seen Dorian do stuff. We know pretty much all the androids scan. All the androids can do fingerprints, voice pattern, voice imprinting. So yeah, I mean they're a bit of a walking lab. So yeah, I would program all my androids with immediate retina scan. Scan me. Don't screw with me. Thank you. Bye. I mean that's a standard in sci-fi, is it not? RoboCop, Directive 4.
Well. All I know is that Vaughn and his lies and everything, he was doing some major screwing with everybody's heads. And he screwed with Dorian's head a little bit, thinking that he might be no different than the XRNs. And, I mean, they're both unstable androids at the heart, which, you know, has got to shake any kind of confidence or security that Dorian's felt so far in the Force. He's tried to build himself up and be, you know, earn the respect of everybody in the Force, but something like this has got to shake your foundation, even if you are an android.
I think what it may also push him to do is go a little harder.
I hope not.
He may try to prove himself more, which we've seen him prove himself over and over again. I mean, how many times has Dorian taken a bullet for John alone or, you know, anybody? I mean, come on.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that's the last thing. If he pushes too much harder, he's just going self-destruct. Yeah. And I don't need that because that's my favorite part of the show.
That next episode, like I said, again, disconnect because they did a flip, and I don't know where in the time stream this episode, but I actually even forgot the name of the episode. That's kind of bad for me because, you know, again, perception, that's right.
Yeah, Yeah, this seems like it should have been earlier to establish Stahl as a character with more depth, but
Yeah.
Stahl
Also,
didn't
this
seem very to be in this episode as much as she probably should have. And we
it
didn't
was kind of,
learn very much about her besides the
it's
fact that
like they
she's a
used her
crone.
as, yeah, they used her as a prop for a bit, and that was weak propping. On top of that, the whole thing with Kennex's memory thing, which is definitely earlier in the season, because he had, I don't think he's been doing the treatments for a while, at least if I remember in certain episodes, he has stopped taking the treatments, the memory treatments. So, like I said, when everything gets put back in order, I probably think this would show up around the fourth episode, maybe.
Probably, but I mean, we still don't know a whole bunch about exactly what a chrome is. So I guess I'm assuming chrome is short for chromosome. There's some
Chromosome,
tinkering done
yeah.
with the genetic makeup of people to make them more perfect, I guess.
Yeah. The Dr. Bashir story arc is what I call it. Because it's the same thing they did in DS9 with Dr. Bashir. And it's one of those, it's something that's been done in sci-fi also to show, well, if you want perfect children, you can do X, Y, and Z. You know, we can tinker here and we can do this. But.
Yeah, so a bunch of chromes are dying because they're taking designer drugs made off of chem printers. I thought that
That.
was I thought that was a really interesting aspect. So every episode there's sort of like this little bit of future tech
Yeah.
that they bring in, and this week it was chem printers. So that's really interesting and to
See,
think about.
it would be awesome because in some ways it would be great, but then also think about the price of a chem printer.
Yeah.
And then how do you work around things like, the fact is that, I mean, do you pay drug companies for, usage of pr the printing? I started thinking about that. It's like, wow, cancer patients would be like the hello. I don't have to constantly run out. I could print my drugs at home.
And if you could tailor them to like your unique body chemistry and
Yeah.
genetic structure and
Oh
everything
my
like
God.
that, you wouldn't have as many like contraindications. Like, okay, so this person is allergic to X, Y, and Z chemicals, so we can take this out of the
And
this
this
person's
person,
drugs and it'll still be effective.
yeah, or this person has been resistant to this and this, so we need to supplement this and this in. Yeah, I mean, it'd be awesome. I mean, it's kind of an individual engineering medicine, which would be awesome,
Yeah. So yeah,
which would
chem
also be
printers.
super expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it will probably be like super expensive at first, but then, you know,
Yeah.
maybe it'll be like DVD players at the end, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It'll slowly.
$77 at the
Yeah. So, the chem printer thing was cool. I got distracted thinking about that for a while watching this episode.
It's okay. This episode was a little bit of a snore in my book, like I said.
Yeah, it was
It
just
just,
not
yeah.
enough Dorian. They didn't really do anything with the Stahl character development, and they
No.
could have, but I'm just
And
realizing that she's not a good actress, and
I think
she doesn't compel me to watch or to get interested in her story.
I don't think they're right. They're not writing her well either.
So it's like a perfect storm of not goodness.
Yeah, it's like they're not really.
Trying. And they're not really trying with most of the women characters on this
Where's
show.
Jane Espion? Where's Jane when we need her to come into a show and, inject her with some life?
I don't know, but Maldonado still needs some development. And I'm still, and we still, we really need an Anna episode right now.
Yeah.
Because, and I think we should have had one earlier because we need to find out what's going on with her
I
and.
mean, in the grand scheme of things, if you were Kennex, you would be, yeah. Think about it. If you were Kennex, what would you be doing? You'd be doing, yeah, the earlier parts of the season would be him trying to recover the memories. And of course, they're still looking for her, but what's his face that, dude they had in custody had kept on dropping hints and clues and crap.
And if they had just shown them in order, this storyline, which is like one of the main storylines of this whole entire show, would probably flow better. But now it's all chopped up, and I'm trying to, when you're trying to too hard to like reconstruct the timeline, it's just,
You would think Fox would learn by now after what they did to Firefly, but no.
Nope. Anyway, we'll probably get, we'll probably finally find out what Nigel does over the wall before we get an episode about Anna and who the heck she is.
And thus, of course, it's tied together, which would be smart.
Because he's possibly working for InSyndicate, yeah.
Yep.
And so, I mean, is she, like, just a soldier for InSyndicate, or is she, like, running it?
Who knows? I get the feeling she may be a higher-up soldier, if anything.
I mean, this is stuff I need to know, people.
I know. But
anyway.
You and I in the same boat.
So, still love the show. Kind of pissed at it, though. So, all right, get it together, Almost Human. Did you want to say anything about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or?
I mean, okay. Since I'm the only one out of two of us looking at it now.
Pretty much.
Oh, I'm taking a hit here for the team again, man. Where did I leave off my S.H.I.E.L.D. discussion last time? Did I talk about Seeds, which was the two episodes back? Probably not. I believe Seeds was after the hiatus, and it's back at, it's mostly centered around S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy, so you actually get to see the up-and-coming agents in their own, like, you know, environment, which is S.H.I.E.L.D. U is what I'm nicknaming it. It's kind of centered around Fritz and Simmons a bit because, you know, they were top of their classes and they're kind of semi-famous now because they went directly into the field and they've been working with Coulson and May. So they're kind of popular technically. And also they're the biggest geeks. So smartest geeks too. And so was Ward Fitzsimmons and Sky at S.H.I.E.L.D. U. Whereas Coulson and May went off and dealt with something dealing with Sky's, you know, past. And it turns out to be that Sky's, this is all revealed, people, so if you don't want any spoilers, walk away. Turns out that Sky's mother was not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., actually. Sky was left at a village. The village was destroyed. The agents picked up Sky. The agents start dying one at a time. Finally, one, you know, the woman that they thought was, that they all presumed was her mother, turned out not to be her mother. She was the last agent to actually get her into the orphanage or foster care system before she was killed. And there's one other agent who went pretty much deep undercover and hid, and he's the one who peeped out and brought attention to Coulson and May, who went to find him, talk to him, and find out that whatever their designated code for weird stuff is, 805s or whatever it is, I can't remember. Sky's the 805 or whatever it is. And they don't know what her powers or whatever it is. God, did everybody not see that coming? Instead of bringing him in, Coulson and May decide, you know, tell him to go back into hiding. You know, if they need to get in contact with him, they will. And the debate between May and Coulson at that point is whether or not to tell Sky. And Coulson's pretty much like, after the stuff that's happened to me, because Coulson now knows everything that happened to him after he died, he's like, I'm not keeping secrets. Back at S.H.I.E.L.D. U, we have another, how to put this? We have the episode again where kids playing around with power that shouldn't be playing around with power, but also trying to make money, making a deal with Mr. Quinn, who's, I would call, secondary, you know, bad guy. He's working for the Clairvoyant, who is, of course, the bad guy in the show right now. The bad of the arc, or the metaplot. And they were working on some weather device. I really thought it was going to be Weather Wizard for a minute, but it turned out not to be Weather Wizard. They cause a massive storm with a lot of freezing. One of the guys gets killed. The other one, who's the supreme geek, one who had really no friends other than the one he just killed, who who kind of identified with Fritz a bit, ends up at the end of the episode, you see he has a freezing power, but he's not being, you know, locked away or anything. He's being sent up to, not the vault. I forget what the designation was for where they send their good agents and stuff, but they're sending him not as an agent per se, but to keep watch over him because he is really brilliant. But of course now he has a power, and I'll say that's the second or third bad guy in the show, or misunderstood person, if you want to call it that, who ends up with powers, and you only see a glimpse of it at the end because there's still that doctor sitting around in that molten graviton thing and Quinn's basement mansion thing that Coulson had to put in there because if you caught the end, he reached out and you could see him and he's still in there. So I get feeling all these superpowered, other misunderstood, were not originally bad people are going to come out at some point, and I don't know if it's going to be Centipede or whatever Hydra's offshoot is at this point is going to bring into the fold. I mean, it's just kind of bad writing also, again, really. Skye now knows her whole story, supposedly because of her feelings that the fact is that not only did whatever family she had, but a whole village, but also S.H.I.E.L.D. agents has sacrificed their lives to save her. She feels like S.H.I.E.L.D.'s her family now. Really? But anyway, I'm not going to go there. And so the next episode, which is Trax, which is kind of weird. Ward notices that there's a change in her and a change in Coulson, because Coulson is kind of disconnected a bit, but still Coulson. And I didn't like this episode so much because I didn't like the point of view. They broke the team up into too many parts. I mean, there was a point of view from, you know, Ward and Coulson working together, and May got separated, and then Skye and Fitzsimmons were together, but then Simmons got separated, and then it was Skye and Fritz. It was just the POV of this episode really was just like, it's one of the most annoying traits. I really dislike it. It's one of those, also it's against the rules of every D&D game ever, which is you don't separate the goddamn team.
So,
but the outcome of that episode was that, I mean, there were some points in this episode when Ward and Coulson were back on the helicarrier separated from everybody else. Well, sorry, not the helicarrier, the ship. They were trying to operate the tech, and it was hilarious. It was really hilarious. There's a clip of it actually on Xfinity. You just them trying to work the illusionary thing, and you know, they're like, I think Fritz does something like this, and you know, he's trying to move his hands, and it's almost like jazz hands. And where it's like, you know, Coulson's like, no, it's more like this.
Oh boy,
it's just hilarious. It was just like, I mean, it brought a chuckle to me. It was like, I was laughing. I was like, and so Ward brings up the whole thing because Coulson knows about him and May because May told him. And you know, Ward's like, he calls, instead of calling sex, he calls it it. And Coulson's like, you know, he pretty much tells Ward, if you know, if anybody gets hurt because of the relationship, he'll be sent to Bear, Alaska to guard Blonsky's cryo cell. And the geek in me kind of chuckled because, you know, Blonsky being Emil Blonsky, the abomination from the Hulk movie.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, nice. Thanks for the nerd drop there. Maybe in a Billy Badass and her story was cool because she actually got captured for a bit. But, you know, I don't know anybody else who's going to take a knife and use, you know, they stab you in the shoulder and leave the knife. And she's like, oh, that's all I needed. And she uses the knife to get out, kick like four or five people's asses. I mean, May is a badass. In turn, though, I'm kind of tired of Joss's use of, you know, yeah, you know, it's a Joss trope. And I'm kind of bored with it, Joss, but anyway, I'm kind of bored with you, too. And very bored with you. So, you know, there's some man pain in this episode. Actually, there's a lot of man pain in the episode, both from Ward and Coulson. Ward's man pain is more or less the whole, you know, when May shows up and he's like, you know, let me bench. She's like, no, wheels up at 5. She knows where they're going. And, you know, when she's like, I need a shower. You know, I mean, she's covered in blood. She took out like 6 people, you know. And when she goes to stitch herself up, Coulson shows up and is like, he's like, well, we had this great sealer. There's a reason for it. Instead of going the hardcore old school way. And they're talking, and Ward comes down and sees it. And, you know, it's like Ward's jealous that Coulson's vanishing on May. And it's like, dude, you realize May and Coulson have been friends for years. Coulson was like there when her first operative went to crap, you know, or her second one, whatever. He's known her for years. Don't get jealous. Be an adult. Don't be a putz boy. Step past your man pain.
He's just so boring.
Honestly, I'm only here for May. Even Coulson's kind of just, I'm done with him too. I mean, in the end, we get the great reveal. You know, anybody's watched the show, Mike Peterson is live. He's in a hyperbaric chamber. Sky's like snuck into the mansion alone. Fritz is outside using his techno stuff to, you know, distract people. The rest of the team is coming in. She's up on the hyperbaric chamber. She sees Mike, and that's when Quinn, you know, go, oh my God, like you didn't see Quinn turn up behind you and, oh my God, disarming you and, you know, holding you with a gun to your head and, you know, other side dudes showing up and them opening up the chamber, Mike coming out. And, you know, we who've been watching the show know Mike has, you know, getting instructions from the clairvoyant in his head. And that's when they do the leg reveal where they pull out this big, nice piece of tech, attach it to his leg, and it extends out into a full leg, and it causes him great pain. But it looks really cool. I'm not going to lie. The special effects was kind of cool, people. And Quinn's, you know, like, you know, so I know your instructions. You're getting directions from the clairvoyant. You know, if I were to shoot you, would you kill me? He's like, no, that is not my, you know, my instructions. Would you kill her? No, she's not the target. And then he walks off and goes upstairs and pretty much goes into the whole, like, I think there's six people upstairs and they're all supposed to be working for Board of Clairvoyant. And pretty much he's like, you know, you all failed. You brought S.H.I.E.L.D. here. And then he proceeds to kill them all. Quinn shoots Sky and abdomen twice. And pretty much his whole reasoning is like, you know, he calls her, you know, Coulson's pet project. And I'm like, oh, so this isn't about you shooting Sky. This is about you getting back at Coulson and hurting Coulson through killing a woman. And I'm really literally like, I mean, at this point in the episode, I was just like, again, my what the fuck face showed up. And, you know, the agents are running through. They're coming through the house. They catch Quinn. Mike Peterson has been issued orders from the clairvoyant not to be seen by S.H.I.E.L.D. Don't engage. Get out. When Coulson gets up to Quinn, Quinn's being all, you know, snooty as most, you know, Billy Badass guys can be. Coulson pimp smacks him with the gun, which I approve because, you know, he was looking for Sky. He asked where she was and, you know, they find her. He finds her specifically down there on the ground. She had been crawling, like trying to get to a phone, bleeding. It was really fucked up. And he finds her. And Simmons, you know, he yells for Simmons. And everybody else comes rolling in. I think May may not have been because May had to deal with cuffing Quinn. But still, I think May was there too. They have the whole group, like, you know, lifting her up. And Simmons is like, put her in a chamber. And Fritz is like, you know, I forget. I think Ward's like, you know what this is? And she's like, it's a hyperbaric chamber. Put her in it. And pretty much she lowers the temperature. And before they put her in it, she wasn't breathing and there was no heartbeat, but, you know, lowering the temperature conserves her, whatever. Literally, they fridge her is what I'm saying. And I'm like, what the fuck? They literally fridge Sky. They put her in a hyperbaric chamber, lower her temperature, and pretty much fridge her just so we can see Coulson's pain. I mean, there's other people's pains, you know. What's this... Fritz is comforting Simmons on the plane. Actually, she tells him that, you know, she can keep her alive for a bit, but we need to get her medical attention. May kind of comforts Ward. And Ward's, you know, there's this moment where, you know, he's like, she's like, don't blame yourself. This is your fault. And he's like, I don't. And I'm like, who the hell are you blaming for this, Ward? Who are you blaming? Are you about to turn all your angst onto Coulson? Because that's not going to help shit.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm waiting for it, because, you know, because honestly, I think Coulson will pimp smack you between here and next week. And we know you're not blaming May. Who else are you going to blame? I mean, are you going to blame the bad guys? Are you going to start becoming a bit angsty? A bit more I don't know.
I still won't care. He's cardboard.
I know. And that's at the end of the episode, is when you get the Mike standing there looking at kids playing on a playground. He writes a note, so, you know, the read through eye where it goes, when can I see my son? And, you know, not yet. And he crunches it up, and you get a shot of the leg. Really looks cool. But as they go in deeper to the leg, you see the name, you know, the serial number in Project Deathlock. And that was that episode. And, I mean, I'm actually kind of cool with the Deathlock storyline, because it could be really done well.
And that's Deathlock's real man pain, though.
Yeah.
That's the only real man pain from what I hear. That's the only legit man pain. He just wants to let the man see his son. He just wants to see his child.
You know, I mean, but he's got, you know, and who knows how this will turn out. I hope for God that he doesn't end up getting killed. I actually hope they figure out some way around, you know, everything. They should. They've done it before. Granted, Centipede, High, whatever the bad guys' names are, the Clairvoyance crew is what I'm going to start calling them because it's easier, have worked around S.H.I.E.L.D.'s technology. I mean, they had a variant of, instead of the Night-Night gun, they had Night-Night grenades, which was awesome. So, I mean, the guys were getting, like, hit with the grenades, and they were, like, pretty much, you know, knocked out, but their eyes were wide open. And it was, I think Fritz called it some kind of dark sleep, because you don't know that you're asleep. And literally, you know, when you wake up, you feel like it's been seconds. So, but, yeah.
I just have a problem with the way that this clairvoyant bunch has kind of taken control of Peterson's body, and it's like his body's not his own anymore.
Remember, they did that to that other S.H.I.E.L.D. agent earlier on, the one that used to work under Coulson.
And you know what they have in common?
Oh yes, people of color. Yes.
I'm not liking it.
No,
I didn't like it then. I don't like it now.
But I mean, that's again. It's Whedon. It's Whedon's crew,
did this to J. August Richards in Angel. He did the same type of crap. That's why I really wish there was vodka in this cup.
But anyway, but yeah, I mean, like I said, I really had hopes. I really hoped that Joss had, you know, I mean, Avengers was cool, but this, not so much. And also with things that he said recently on Twitter. Anyway.
Avengers was cool. Avengers was also mostly white, too.
Yeah, there's that, too. I mean, you know. Yeah. I'm going to need for them to step up the game. Maybe they need to find somebody new to start heading out that stuff. Anyway. But yes.
There you have it. There's our Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. recap. I guess I can talk a little bit about Sherlock, because it's been over in the UK and in the US. I mean, the first episode was kind of like, hey, it's been 2 years, we're back. Here's all these different theories about how Sherlock faked his death. And we never really find out which one is right. We just have fun, you know, thinking about a whole bunch of different theories. Mark Gatiss wrote this episode, and he introduced this group of fanboys and fangirls called the Empty Hearse. And they think about theories about how Sherlock faked his death, and, you know, they believe that he's been alive all the time. And then when they're finally, you know, proven right about that, they get all giddy and stuff. But it seemed like a way to kind of acknowledge the fans' interest, but also make fun of that interest at the same time. Because literally, there were fans, you know, just rabidly talking about theories for 2 years on Tumblr, all over the internet, while, you know, Cumberbatch and Freeman were off making movies, while Moffat and Gatiss were writing Doctor Who.
Which they both suck at.
Just, yeah, but the, like, if it weren't for these fans' interest, you could have come back after 2 years to crickets.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make fun of the fans. There was some interview or some press conference, I think in the UK, where they had the cast read / fic.
Really?
That's just, it's just a big F you to the fans. And there's been quotes from people. And, I mean, I'm the first one to say that sometimes fandom gets it all fucked up. But, you know, there's for the group of people that are respectfully, you know, going about their fandom lives, you know, writing their fanfic, not bothering anybody, they don't deserve to be made fun of, especially in a whole 90-minute episode. So there's that aspect of the first episode that kind of really, really made me mad. I did like watching John Watson try to beat the crap out of Sherlock more than once, because Sherlock deserved it. Sherlock told a whole bunch of people, you know, that he was still alive, but he didn't bother telling John.
How do you not tell your, like, pretty much your best friend?
Yeah.
That's like, okay, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to say this. That's like leaving your ride or die in purgatory.
You just had to go there. But yeah.
I had to, but anyway.
Yeah, but yeah,
that's just the same kind of shittiness. That's some ain't shitness.
Okay, yeah, he's on the list. He's on the list.
Yeah.
He's on the list.
I thought you were dead. I saw you die in front of me, and 2 years later you pop up. Oh no, I'd be laying some at foot up to my knee in your ass.
Yeah.
They would have to surgically remove half of my leg from your ass.
Yeah. Yeah, Sherlock might surpass Kennex on the ain't shit list.
I would say he already has.
Yeah, and if you remember, Kennex has been at the top, so.
Yeah, well, you're top of your ain't shit list. My ain't shit list is a little different and skewed than yours, but yeah, no.
So it had been Kennex and Crane, and now it's Sherlock, Kennex, and Crane. Or it might be Sherlock, Crane, and Kennex. I don't know. They switch. So, yeah. So, yeah, there's that. We don't get to see Sally Donovan, who is the lone person of color on this show. We don't get to see her until the second episode, and then I don't think we see her again for the rest of the series. I mean, there's only 3 episodes, but it was good to see her again. There was, and I guess I'll talk about more about the rest of the couple episodes later on. But yeah, I just had to rant a little bit about that premiere. I mean, for fans of the show have been waiting this long. It was kind of, you know, thanks for keeping the home fires burning, and also also being a slap in the face. Like, you're crazy, but thanks for keeping the show alive. Anyway,
look, I may not like I may not get fandom. I may not like fandoms, but you know what? I respect fandom also. Okay. I respect the fact is that, you know, a whole bunch of people, most of them quite like myself and you and other friends of ours, like stuff, and we get into it and we geek out about it. But you know what? The thing I don't like, and I don't think these people need to acknowledge, is that you don't fuck with fandom. Okay. Okay.
And the thing is, when you yourself write a show that is basically glorified AU fanfic, you have no place to talk about fans who want to slash characters or do whatever the fuck.
Yeah. You need to start, they need to start getting like Gina Torres, who's like, you know, I love fans. I love fandom. Okay. You start getting like even Orlando Jones, who knows the who has seen the power of what fandom can fucking do. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a mixed bag. I will totally admit Orlando Jones's interest in fandom is a mixed bag, but still. I mean, at this point, Orlando, I would even say in the hierarchy of things at this point, Orlando Jones is way bottom of the rung of your ain't shitness compared to this kind of ain't shitness. This kind of ain't shitness is some serious ain't shitness.
Yeah.
This is up there with the whole group of people who are like, I don't want you writing fic about my stuff because it's just not how it should be.
Moffitt.
Mercedes Lackey.
Sherlock ain't nothing but fanfic. It's just it's just BBC sanctioned, approved fanfic. That's all it is. And stop trying to act like you're better than somebody just because you get paid for it. You get paid for fanfic.
Moffitt.
You don't.
Seriously, on top of that, Moffitt, I've seen better fanfic for everything you've touched from other people. Okay?
That are doing it for free.
Yeah. And write more entertaining.
So, anyway, that's all I've got to rant about right now. Anything else on your mind?
On my mind, I had a touch of something earlier. I can't remember what it was now, but I'm sure it'll come back to me later, and maybe it'll be in the next episode. Who knows? Right now, I'm just kind of, I'm disappointed in a lot of ways.
Bye.
Everything on TV. Ennui. It's ennui.
Oh well.
You know, if I was a vampire, I'd probably be, contemplating going underground for the next 100 years and coming back and seeing what's on the tube then. But anyway.
Are you still watching Dracula?
Oh, speaking of vampires. There's been a bit of a gap, but yeah, Dracula, the problem with Dracula is that besides the if you know the Dracula story, it's following the Dracula story to some degree now. The last big reveal, the last few episodes were the build-up. I mean, if you don't know Dracula's story, I would recommend you definitely watch the show. And I actually probably also go back and watch the old Gary Oldman Dracula movie, which was pretty, really awesome, I think. Except for the Keanu Reeves part. But what happened? The cool things about the Dracula story are the play on how that Dracula and Van Helsing, who are working together at this point, are trying to take out the Order of the Dracul, or the Order of the Dragon, and the aspects that the Order of the Dragon is all about oil. They're all about oil, the power of oil, and the money behind oil, keeping their control over it, and making sure the world is dependent on it. Sounds familiar? People really does. Sounds like the real world way too much. Fossil fuels are not the way of the future. And them trying to work on their wireless electricity, which is based off of Nikola Tesla's ideas, which got, Anyway, we won't talk about that whole feud between him and Bell. Anyway, and Edison. But at the same time, you have the standard routine of Dracula, falling in love. Well, not falling in love with Mina, because Mina is just the reincarnation of his long-lost love, Ilonia. Who Mina is engaged to Harker, who's working with Dracula, whose name is Grayson at this point, because he's supposed to be from America. It's an interesting show, I will admit. I do like it. Everything came to a head the last few episodes because Harker ended up being inducted into Order of the Dragon. Doesn't trust Mina because Mina's best friend Lucy, who is in love with Mina. God, everybody's in love with Mina for some reason. And a lot of people are like, I don't understand why everybody's in love with Mina. She's not Abby. She's nowhere near an Abby. She's not. But Lucy's in love with Mina. Lucy was given pointers by, I forget what her name is now, but the head huntress for the Order of the Dragon, who's a high-level socialite also. Which was interesting that the fact is the head hunter from the Order of Dragon in London is a woman, which was really progressive, of course. Even they were talking about in the show, it was progressive. Like Dracula himself was like, it was so progressive of them. Oh my God. He's like, almost like, I can't believe it. They've actually somewhat trying to come to modern times. And she's a Billy Badass, I will totally admit. She's blonde, but she's a Billy Badass. But she kind of tells Lucy that, things like, you know, I saw your interest in her and blah, blah. Yeah, I can expect she's pretty much playing the cards against each other, because not only is Lucy in love with Mina, but of course, Grayson's in love with Mina. And everybody could see when they were dancing together that it was there. And there's so many, I mean, there's some convoluted plot lines in the show, which I like. But there's just not enough POCs. And I mean, I walked in the show not expecting enough POCs anyway, because of the time period. And as we all know, oh my God, there were no brown people in Europe in the 1800s. Wrong. So fucking wrong. But anyway, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to get angry. But yeah, so at this point, his cover's blown. Most of Order of Dragon has been killed. Van Helsing exacted his revenge on the person who killed his family. His revenge was interesting because he took the blood of Dracula and made the guy's kids vampires, left them in a pit, and then dropped the father in, and then let them feed on daddy, and then burned the whole place down on top of him. It was interesting. Wow. It was really hardcore. But considering that they had locked his whole family in a house and let it burn down, and he got to stand outside being held down and hear their cries of death, I kind of understand.
Yikes.
No, sometimes you gotta dish out the revenge like that. You gotta be a hard motherfucker sometimes, pardon my French.
So.
But of course, now, at the very end of that episode, Van Helsing had stabbed Renfield and left him for dead, which pissed me off. He pretty much he got rid of the sunlight serum because he had developed a serum so Dracula could walk during the daylight, so he could keep his identity hidden. And he was telling Harker about Dracula because, of course, Harker is now like, you know, Mina is in love with Grayson. And they've actually had sex now. And as we all know from this point on in Dracula storyline, it's going to probably be, you know, kill Dracula, kill, kill, kill. You know, Mina's not turned yet, or nowhere near turned, but Lucy... After Lucy had pretty much seduced Harker, and that broke Mina's heart slightly, Dracula showed up in her house while she was in the bath and turned her and was like, you want to be a monster? I'll make you a monster. And then dropped and ran and left after turning her. And it was like, in some ways, it was an awesome sequence, because it was literally like, you know, it was cool, because the fact is, yeah, you know, Lucy kind of was a monster in the show, because she really was that aloof, cold kind of character. And what she did to her best friend really was kind of screwed up, even though she was doing it because she's in love with Mina, but yet she slept with Harker to get back at Mina, and it was just, yeah. So,
you're happy with the show, or?
I like the plot lines. I like the plot lines. I like vampires, I admit that. I'm waiting to see what happens. I know at some point I'm going to be pissed off. I always get pissed off. Some of the members of the Hunter staff were not white people, which was cool. One of them, I forget who it is, I want to say he's a Maori actor who had the face tattoo. It was awesome. Really good looking, too. But I'm hoping to see more of him. I don't know if he got killed off in a random blood slaying of hunters versus other vampires. But I don't know. It's interesting. It's not DS9, but it's interesting.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, but, just.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and I don't know. I'm having an ennui moment with my watching habits right now, mostly because, you know, maybe it's the coming down from, you know, my favorite show right now, which isn't on, but I'll live.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was just, you know, trying to end it on a somewhat less angry note, but oh well.
I'm not angry. I'm cool right now. I'm not angry. It's not angry. You know? Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm looking for some, you know, let's see. Hold on. Let's see. I'm doing a tally in my head of POC characters on shows I like, and I'm still coming up a lot less than I want to, but I hope they all get better story arcs than everybody else. Can't wait for some ain't shitness. I can't wait for some ain't shitness to come crawling out, you know, some ain't shitness to, you know, crawl out of his coffin and maybe try to go rescue somebody from purgatory and then find out that she's already out of purgatory and kicking ass in the name of justice.
That's for you, Ichabod. he's gonna wake up and like, what happened? You know, everything's gonna be worked out around him, and you know, Jenny will probably have taken his spot as a witness, and you know, it'll be all good.
I'm not even going to start speculating because I still think Jenny is the second witness, and it's not Ichabod. I think Ichabod's just a tag along, but that's my mentality.
Yeah. I don't think they would do that on a show like this. I don't think they would take him out of the forefront.
I mean, he could still be in the forefront. He just don't have to be the second witness because, you know, I'm still trying to figure out what he witnessed.
But yeah, they would take, if he's not, you know, front and center, that means Katrina's even more useless. And
oh God,
they can't have two women of color being like the center of the show, can they?
Oh, I wish for the day when that happens, I will be a happy person.
I mean, the show should be about the male sisters, but it might get canceled if it did. Today. Anyway, contact info, abe-bleak-outlook.tumblr.com, facebook.com/bleakoutlook, Twitter @ A Bleak Outlook, and Gmail, bleakoutlookpodcast@gmail.com. So I hope you find something good to watch and that you enjoy.
Yeah. We're a lot less ain't shitness.
And that's not being run out of order. Bye, y'all.